So today is a very special day. You know, a month ago, or a little over a month ago, we appointed some new elders in our church. And Steve is the head elder. I mean, just look at him. He looks like a head elder. And then we have two new elders. And Tom could not be here today, but Rob could be here today. It's a good thing, because he is going to be presenting the vision for the elder board. And so I don't want to talk a whole lot about Rob, other than the fact he's got a mission heart, an evangelistic heart. He has a desire to serve this congregation, and he's a good friend. And so with that kind of introduction, Rob, come. Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
You spoke up about me, and I don't know if I can keep up to the image that you gave of me. So, but yeah,
it's you, Rob.
I'm a new elder, and I'm gonna organize my things here a little bit. So I'm the new elder, and I'm giving the a vision of the elders or roles of the elders. And I've really never heard in all my life as a, my Christian experience, it's really what an elder does, what they do, and how they're appointed. It's all, so it was a enlightening experience for me to learn. And so in the bulletin, I have a handout that I gave you guys to follow, because I have a lot of verses in there. And I hope it works out good in presenting this. It might be a little choppy, but I basically took whatever verses concerning elders and have it in here. So in the early church, they had elders. And one of the examples was in Acts chapter 15. And Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, and there was big discussion about Gentiles becoming Christians. And a lot of the Judaizers, they said, well, if they're going to become Christians, if they're going to believe in Jesus as their Messiah, they need to be circumcised. That's just the way it is. And so it made a big discussion. And in, Acts here. In the 15th chapter, verse 2, it says, when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. And so they went to Jerusalem, to the church of Jerusalem. In verse 4, and when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. In verse 6, it says, the apostles and elders came together to look into this matter. And so they were the elders and the apostles that were there. James was, I think, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. He's a half-brother of Jesus at this point. And so they were discerning Scripture and deciding what is ecumenical. I don't know the word for it. What's right. And so this is where they talked about the elders that were existing back then. In 1 Peter, Peter discusses also elders. And I have Peter wrote that the elders are to shepherd the flock of God by being examples to the flock. So that was in 1 Peter 5. Let's see. Okay. So it's verses 1 through 3. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to to be examples to the flock. So we're to be, elders are to be examples to the flock. And Peter does say that he is an elder also. So he mentions that. And also in John, in 2 John and 3 John, as I have in the handout, the Apostle John also referred to himself as an elder as well, in both of those, in the first verse of each of those books. So, qualifications and characteristics of elders. So, this is where Paul was talking or wrote to Timothy, and he also wrote to Titus about what the qualifications are for elders. And so he, so we're going to have that up here, and we can read it together about what a qualification is for elders. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. And the overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. If a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not to be honored, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So, this is a pretty comprehensive list about what Paul is asking for overseers or elders to be. And it was a very good thing to go and look at. And as a new elder, I looked at this extra hard and in considering it. And we're not perfect, but we are to be examples and show and oversee the church. And before that, and we're supposed to be servants. Jesus said, he who is greatest among you is going to be the servant of all. And that's what elders need to be, is serving as well. So, in appointing elders, I just kind of wrote these down, and so it's not like it's really a flowing type discussion and all cute from thought to thought. So maybe this is more scholastic or cerebral. Anyway, so Paul, in Acts, chapter 14, verse 23, he talks about what happened back then. He did his first missionary journey, and he went through these different towns, and many new converts, new people, new Christians came into being of Gentiles. And on the way back, he stopped back at those same cities and talked to those new converts. And he said, he's in verse 22, strengthened the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting and commended them to the Lord in whom they have believed. So they did go through and appoint elders. Paul and Barnabas, they decided help set up the churches in these cities. So that's one of the things in what he did. He also, in appointing elders, he did it with Timothy, and he did it with Titus as well. In Titus, he was in Crete, I believe, and Paul asked him and gave him the kind of the same qualifications as he told Timothy that we just read. He said to appoint elders in the cities in the churches at Crete as well. So Paul was busy with helping setting up the churches in many places, as well as the apostles. I'm sure they were doing the same thing. So what do elders do? That was a good one for me to know. like, here I am, okay. it's really not much more in a way, I think, than what I've been doing already or trying to do. But now I got a title to it, so I'm important. Yeah. okay. So here's as Steve coughs. Yeah.
You're still just Rob to us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nothing changes. No badge, no nothing. So, elders, what they do is, one of the things is leading. In Hebrews, and these are verses in the handout, these are the actual verses that I typed out here for this. So Hebrews 13:7 for leading. Remember those who lead you. He spoke the word of God to you, and consider their conduct. Imitate their faith. Yeah, so we're to be examples. We're to help lead and direct and show oversight. We're to watch over the church in Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be profitable for you. I guess it'd be redundant, but set an example. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he writes, so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. So, with God willing, we help encourage each other and help in direction for this church. We're not a big church, but, you know, the churches, the early churches weren't either. The underground churches are not big. But God uses them mightily, and that's what God does. He works through us. It's not through the big congregation. So, also we're to care for the church. 1 Timothy 3:5 says, but if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? All of us aren't perfect, but with God's grace. The elders are also to study in prayer. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, be diligent and present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Acts 6, verse 4, was where they were, the early church was really growing. There was a lot of needs in the church, and the apostles and the other leaders, the overseers, they were busy trying to do things, and there was just so many things they couldn't do them. And so they started appointing deacons to start, you know, I guess that's maybe where the first committees started back then. But anyway, they started appointing deacons to oversee a lot of the work within the church rather than do it themselves. And as for the elders, they said, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So that's what elders are supposed to be doing also. We're to be able to teach. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, the very last part says, able to teach. And so I've taught, you know, and we should, the elders should be able to expose doctrine, expound it, and share, and be able to teach. And that's something that I think is a good thing. In Titus 1, verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that you'll be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. So that's something we're supposed to be able to do. And I know a lot of us have the gift of teaching. All of us have gifts. different gifts, and some are better at some things than others. If they want me to teach Sunday school, I'm the worst. I'm the worst guy. I mean, outside babysitting, you know, or something like that, or, you know, toddlers, that's about my limit. So some teaching is not good, but others, I'm good at teaching. So it's all for all of us. We're all gifted different ways. God calls us different ways. And lastly, it talks about that some of us also preach. And so Daryl's a hard act to follow. I'll just say that right now. He's one of the best expositors of the Bible I've ever heard, outside of listening to the Bible, or listening to the radio. Charles Stanley, for me, was one of the guys that challenged me greatly. The guy was always just right there. There's many others that are so good, but they're all different. All preaching's different. And this type of preaching for me, with notes and reading, is... yeah, it's not really my way of doing it. I don't really like it, but it's what I'm sticking to the word and expounding what an elder is supposed to be. I think it's one of those, me, I'm getting off topic here a little on this, but I think talking about what the role of elders are, it's kind of a dry subject. I don't know how to describe it. It's not like everything that's, oh, wow, that's a great sermon. It's more just, it's informative. And so that's what I'm here to do, to share this. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says, elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So I don't know what that means, double honor. Maybe get an extra piece of pie or something, which is okay. Anyway, this is it was a good experience going through, looking at this over the last couple weeks, a few weeks going on this. And as I mentioned, I was going through 1 Timothy on the qualifications of overseers, and really looking into it, really praying about it, really seeking God on this, you know, that this is some God you put me into this position, and it's not something I sought, it's not something that I asked for, it's just I ended up here, and it's what it is. God leads us, and we don't know how we get there, but many times in life. But anyway, I was looking at verse 3, and I don't know if Yoko can bring up verse 3 on that. And it talks about not addicted to wine or pugnacious. And I saw that word pugnacious, and I go, wow, I don't see that word very often. You know, I never hear anyone say pugnacious. I knew what it meant about being argumentative or something like that, and I just started digging into it. So I went online, went to Merriam-Webster, and I looked it up about, well, what does it have to say about it? And I say, I'm looking at this for myself. I'm just saying, God, what do you want in my life, in my heart? And it talked about, in here it says, feeling or displaying eagerness to fight. And I said, oh, Lord, okay. You know, I don't look at that with my life in general. I don't look at that. But I was asking, you know, to search my heart. Look at my heart, Lord, where it is. And while doing that, in prayer and reading this with God, I looked at the synonyms. I said that word. That's a hard word to say 3 times without saying cinnamon. So on the back side, it gave the synonyms that go with this. And I looked at that and go, huh. Okay, is this any of this me? And I looked at this, and I realized with my son, sometimes when I'm with him, I mean, he's just a great guy. He's just a great person to be with. And honestly, I would be hard-pressed to say any pugnaciousness in that guy. It's just not there. The guy's above it. Not that he's perfect in all ways, because he's not. But I look at that with my son in dealing with him, and I know for myself when I'm tired, really like wore out, and I have to cook dinner, I have to do a bunch of stuff, and he's sitting there saying, okay, Dad will take care of it. And it's like, Dad's really getting tired or, you know, whatever, wore out, and I ask him to help. And I can be some of these words right here. I can be some of these type words in my life. And I realize, you know, God, with him especially, I need to be accountable with my life with others in that respect. And especially with my son, you know, with family, it's easy, the ones you're close to are the ones that it's easiest to be like this. It really is. And God gave us grace, and he doesn't want us to be like this. He really doesn't. And it's not pointing to you guys. I'm not trying to preach you guys, but for me, I know I need to talk to my son about it. I wanted to bring this up because it was just a real revelation to me. I need to talk to my son and apologize for these different times. I have before, but I'm going to show him this list and where I've been like this and on some things. And, you know, just ask God to be cleansing my heart and changing me. So that's pretty much what I have to share. And we're going to be going into communion. So let's have a word of prayer beforehand. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time to be able to share the role of the elders and definition of elders. And God, I just ask, Lord, that you just guide each of us in living for you, in following you, Lord. And Lord, search our hearts. So we're going into the communion. And Lord, you are so good to us. And we just ask, God, I've heard it said about revival, praying for revival, Lord. And I do also, I pray with all my heart for revival. I ask that you just do a mighty work, Lord, upon the churches here in South Whidbey, upon our church, Lord. I just ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would pour out and that you'd have your way, Lord, with us. And that you would just do a mighty work. You search all hearts, Lord. You know all things. And so, Lord, we just look to you. Just guide us in living for you. Amen.